just continue to pray for my family, the Morris family, as they prepare for Kyson's service. His service will be Saturday in Texas.
I'd like to ask for prayers for our students, school officials, and authorities with all the uproar that's been going on in the Elk City schools. And just pray for the kids that are having anxiety with all of the, and the parents as well, I guess. And pray that courage will rise up in our Christian students are that are there. And people will see that they're not fearful of the situation and ask them why, and they'll have an answer to give. So we want to pray for the Morris family and also the Roark family. We'll be having my husband's Uncle Dale's funeral tomorrow at 10 at the Methodist Church in Cheyenne.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Father God, we just humbly approach your throne right now in a time of prayer, of just seeking wisdom and a wise counsel and healing, God. Lord, I want to start with praying for the students here and the school faculty and authorities, God, and all of the Elk City Public School, God. I just learned this morning about certain things that have transpired. Father, I pray over every single student, God, that may be fearful, and God, and for the teachers, and God, the anxiety that lingers over them, God, of just what if. God, I pray that you would just remind them that you are a God who's in control. Father, that the Christian students would be reminded that you are the overseer of all this, that you have not given us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but God, you've given us a spirit of boldness and of power. And Father, that we can trust you, and we don't have to fear man when we have the Lord on our side. Father, I pray that those students, those Christian students, would be a beacon of hope in those hallways and classrooms for those students that are around them that may not know Jesus as their Lord. God, that they would, you know, unfortunately be faced with the mortality of their life. That, God, we're not always promised tomorrow, but God, that those Christian students would lead the way of, well, here's why I don't fear. It's because of who my God is, and he reigns and rules over this universe. And then that would be a hope for those around them, and that, God, this would be an opportunity to, that, God, you would use of what Satan's trying to use for evil, God, you would turn it around and use it for good and for your glory, and that salvation would come through this. Father, I pray for the families that are distraught, that are worried about sending their kids, that, God, they would also find peace and rest knowing that they are not just sending them willy-nilly to a school, but, God, they can leave their kids and trust them in your hands. God, if we can trust you that you would save us from the pits of hell, that, God, we know that we can trust you when we send our kids to school. We can trust you in the most fearful situations. So, Father, I pray for peace over the minds of the adults and the students and God, and the teachers and the principals and the superintendent, God, school board, all of those that have to make decisions and be alert and be aware. God, you would give them godly wisdom to make the right choices and the right decisions in the right moment. God, give them the strong leadership ability to lead well through this. God, I pray for our local policemen, our officers, God, as they respond, as they do their due diligence to do the best that they can with this. Father, I pray for the students that acted this way, that caused this. Father, I pray that they would come to know you. God, I pray that they would see the evilness in their choices, the wrong things. God, whether it's rumors or not. God, I pray that you would see that they would see that their need for Jesus. I pray that this would be a moment where they would see the damage of sin in their life and choose to respond to Jesus. I pray that someone would reach them for the glory of God. I pray that you would just show them their need for the gospel. And God, I pray that this would be a life-changing moment for them that would change not just for the here and now, but for all eternity because they respond to the gospel. So Lord, we just lift this community up to you. And Lord, I want to pray for the Morris family. God, I don't really know what's going on. God, I guess there's a, I hear there's a funeral happening. God, I just pray for the family as they process this, as they move forward with this. God, that they would lean on you and not on their own understanding. God, it's scary when we lean on our own understanding because, God, there are things that happen above us that we don't understand. We won't understand on this side of heaven. So what we got to do is trust you going forward, knowing that you are in control. Father, I pray over peace and rest over this family, that, God, you would bring peace beyond understanding. God, you would, when their hearts and their thoughts are running 1,000 miles an hour, all the different ways, God, that they would put the Lord before them. God, you would bring peace to them. God, we pray for the Roark family as well. I hear just another loss of life. Father, I pray for these lives that, God, I pray that they did know you as their Lord and Savior, so we know where they are. And God, I pray for the families as they suffer through this, as they, you know, grieve. God, it's okay to grieve and to experience loss because, God, death was not a part of the original plan. But, God, it's a part of our sinfulness. And, God, I pray that this would be a moment of where we can just continue to point those who are hurt and lost and fearful of their own death, that, God, we don't have to be fearful of that. There is life in Jesus when we surrender our life to him. So, Father, I pray for these families as they just go through this difficult time. God, you would surround them with people that would encourage them and love them well through this difficult moment. And for the days, weeks, and months ahead, God, this isn't something that's a quick fix. God, this is a loss of life that we feel for the rest of our life here. And, God, I pray you would just continue to encourage them and love them, put people in their life who are going to walk with them through this time. May they rest in you and find you as their source of strength through this time. Lord, we love you. We give you the glory and praise that's rightfully yours. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
We have one more prayer request come in. Sorry. My friend Nikki needs prayers this morning. Her mom passed away in October, and they were really close. This is their first holiday season with her being passed away. And her dad is in the process of retiring from over-the-road trucking, and he's trying to sell his semi so that he can pay off the house and just get a local job here.
And your friend's name is what? Nikki?
Nikki.
Okay. Yeah. Let's pray for you, Nikki. God, we just want to lift up Nikki to you in this moment. God, my heart breaks for families that have to, you know, experience this holiday season for the first time without their loved ones. God, I just, you know, I haven't fully understood that myself, but God, I can't imagine the pain and the hurt and the sorrow that Nikki is feeling right now with the loss of her mother. But Father, would you just remind her that your presence is with her? And Father, you are good, and God, just what, you know, we're in the Christmas season. I think of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where Isaiah talks about the promised Messiah and the titles that he has, that he is Wonderful Counselor, that he is Mighty God, that he is the Eternal Father, and that he is the Prince of Peace. God, would you just remind Nikki of who King Jesus is? Remind her that King Jesus fulfilled all of those titles, that he is Wonderful Counselor. He is Almighty, Powerful God who gives wisdom and understanding to those when we don't know and we don't get why things are happening. That he is the one that has been through all trials, temptations, and difficulty, yet walked through them all undefeated and without sin. That God, that Jesus is worth trusting in and abiding in. That God, he is Mighty God. King Jesus was mighty enough to defeat sin and death and the powers of hell and resurrected from the grave. That we have a thing called a living hope so we can hold on to Jesus during difficulty. That he is the Eternal Father. That he is, just like what ancient kings would say, they would say that they were the Father over their nations. Not that Jesus was a literal dad, but rather just like the ancient kings, they were fathers over the nations. They would make decisions that would benefit their people. They would love, they would protect, they would provide, live sacrificially. But King Jesus was the one that actually fulfilled that, as he was the eternal Father. He is the one who leads well, provides, loves, cares, forgives, and lived a sacrificial life for us because he loved us. And most importantly, he is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace in our life when storms are arising, when difficulty happens and we don't know who to turn to, when things around in our life feel amiss and different, that you are a God of peace. You are the one that brings things to calmness and to a stillness. Father, I pray that for Nikki, that God, this season may feel difficult and things around her are different and shifting. That when we seek you out, when we trust in your guidance, that you bring peace and understanding. And then, King Jesus, that you brought peace. You are the Prince of Peace because you ushered in peace between broken sinners like us and brought us into a peace with Almighty God. Because of your sacrificial death on the cross for us, for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus, we are no longer enemies of God, but children of God. There is peace between us and Holy God. Father, would you just continue to pour your presence over Nikki, reminding her of your presence, your goodness, your faithfulness, and your love for her, and that you understand what she's feeling right now. God, just continue to strengthen her during this time, remembering the good times and the great things and the memories that she has with her mother, and choosing to continue to live life that honors her but gives you glory. Father, I pray for her father as he's trying to transition and retire. And God, my father himself has gone through that difficulty of trying to find someone to buy his business out and buy his truck. God, I pray that you would send the correct buyer that would buy that, that would take that truck, so that you would provide the income and the money to be able to pay off the things that I know that it's looming over his head. God, would you just, you are the ultimate provider. Would you do that for them? We pray and ask all of that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Serre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and your socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Jace Morrow. His title for this morning is, Who is to Blame?
I'm glad you remembered. I blanked. Yes, Miss Monica?
I'm to blame for the stuff in my life because I made choices that didn't line up with the Word of God and the character of God.
Same. Me too. That's right where I'm at. So, kind of just to recap what we talked about, God is not to blame. He does not bring us to a place of temptation because he physically cannot. He literally cannot. He is holy God. He does not tempt. He is untemptable. He is holy. He can't do that. He tempts no one. So if God isn't to blame, who is it? We've read that. Well, we are by our own sinful desires, our own wicked hearts. We are lured out of the safety of cover. We are enticed and entrapped by our own sinfulness and desires, attracted. So we are the ones accountable. So what do we do about that? What do we do when we live a life of unchecked sinfulness? If we leave sin unchecked in our life, man, disaster happens. We see this in verse 15, picking back up in James chapter 1, where James finishes up and says this: "Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth to death." So we see that there is a downward spiral of giving when we give into temptation. James kind of does this little, I think it's kind of funny, but we go from fishing / hunting terms to conception terms, okay? So we go from enticing and trapping to pregnancy talk, right? And so we see there's actually two births that happen here. The first one's kind of, yeah, no sense, I can read that. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So here's the thing. Temptation itself is not wrong. Temptation itself is not sin. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, right? Temptation itself, when you are tempted, that is not sin. It's what you do in response to that temptation. It could be the sin, right? When our sinful desires are acted upon, it leads us into sin, right? We see that. When our sinful desires, when it has conceived, when we've acted on it, right, it gives birth to sin, just like how normal conception leads to natural childbirth when all things are normal, right? So when we give in to our sinful desires, our temptation, we act on those things. It leads us, it births sin in our life. We see this second part where it says, and sin, when it is fully grown, okay, so when that sin is allowed to fester and continue to grow in your life unchecked, I like what it said, when it is fully grown, because here's the unfortunate thing about sin when it's left unchecked in our life, sin grows fast. It piles up quick. Like I mentioned earlier, sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and it'll keep you there longer than you ever intended or wanted to stay. Sin is deadly. Sin wants to keep you there. And so we see this, what's the second birth, where it says this, sin, when it is fully grown, when sin is left unchecked in your life, it brings forth. That bring forth is also a Greek where it changes. Birth for means to give birth to. It gives birth to death. Here's the ironic thing. We know this. You know, my wife has birthed us three children. When she gave birth, thank God, she gave birth to three young new lives. What do we see? What unchecked sin in our life brings forth? It doesn't birth life. We see this. It brings forth death. So we see this pattern. We see this like three-tier cake type of thing. Our evil, sinful desires, when we act on those, it leads into a life of sinfulness. And when we leave sin unchecked in our life, it keeps us in death. The scary thing about this is this isn't just a physical death. This death, what we're talking about, it's spiritual death. It's eternal death. The cost of unchecked sin in our life is costly. And this is exactly why God does not tempt us or lead us in temptation, because he came to set us free from our sinfulness. We are already destined and condemned to hell, right? Jesus came to live sinless and perfectly for us, dying on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave so that anybody that would put their faith and trust in Jesus and his finished works on the cross would have forgiveness of their sin and have eternal life, being set free from the grips of sin in our life. And so we already have eternal death in our back pocket because of our sinful nature, what we rightfully deserve. And so when we leave sin unchecked in our life, it is costly. But here's the encouragement. That cycle can be broken through submission to Jesus. I want to read you two verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says this. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So talking about Adam, what we already talked from the very beginning, through one man's disobedience, we were all made sinners because of his sinful nature, sinful decision. It spread like a cancer to all the rest of mankind. So by the one man's obedience, that may will be made righteous. So from Adam's disobedience to Jesus's faithful obedience to the Lord, we have all been made sinners because of Adam's choice, but because of what Jesus did on the cross for us through his obedience, many will be made righteous, made right with holy God. And it's nothing that we did on our own accord because you were good enough, because you just grit your teeth and white-knuckled it and said, I'm just going to get over my own sinfulness and brokenness. But no, it's because of what Jesus did for you already on the cross. It's because of his obedience. It's how we can be made right with God. So the cycle that can be broken when we submit our lives to Jesus, because Jesus is the source of victory over sin and temptation. Listen to what Galatians 2:20 says. Paul writing this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So do you hear that? How we break this cycle of disobedience, we give our life to Jesus. We submit to him. He is the one that can make us right with God. Not our own ability, not us, but what Jesus has done on the cross. Jesus is the one that gives victory over sin and temptation, because even Paul's saying, is no longer I who live. I have died of my old selfish ways. I am dead to that. I now live because of Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live currently in the flesh, not living out my temptation, but now I'm now currently living, I live by faith in the Son of God. Because he loved me and gave himself for me. This is the good news of the gospel. It breaks the power of sin. Here's what I would encourage you. If you're listening today, you have never genuinely prayed a prayer of repentance. Lord, I want to give you my life. You're stuck and enticed and entrapped. There are so many different hooks stuck in you, and you know and you're aware of your own sinfulness. Can I encourage you this? Your sinfulness is the very reason why King Jesus came after you. He didn't leave you there. And God didn't send that temptation or sinful thing your way because you are evil, wicked, and this is your punishment. But rather, it is your own doing. It is our own sinful actions. And God graciously loved you enough that he doesn't want to leave you in that state. Rather, he loves you and wants to redeem you out of that sinfulness and get you right with him. And even in Christians that are hearing this note, just because we make a profession of faith doesn't mean that our own sinful desires die and go away, but rather we don't have to continue to surrender to them. We can actually, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually say no to those and start substituting those things for godly things and start letting God change us, shape us, mold us, and make us more like his son Jesus. But we can't do that without Jesus. We need him to break the sin and death out of our life. And so if you're here today, I've never given my life to Jesus. Man, would you see the goodness of God? Would you, one, see your own brokenness and know that God wants to save you from that. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to say, once I get my life together, because that day will never come. If I waited for that day, I would still be in my sin and death. Come to the Lord as you are. Let him fix you where you are. You don't need to get it together before him. He will get you together. Man, for the Christians in the room, here's why I'm struggling. Look, like I said earlier, we are followers of Jesus. We still struggle with sin. We are not out the gate yet. We are still being made righteous. We are still being sanctified and being made right, but we won't be perfect until the day that Christ returns for us. So how do we take action now in our own sinfulness? Because we still need to fight and battle. Here's a couple of things I want to encourage you with. One, study and know yourself. What desires do you have a problem with? Like, reflect on your own. What is it that I struggle with? Find out what situations, places, or people cause you to have those desires to sin. Study and know yourself and ask God to reveal that to you as well. Man, do you struggle with pornography? Do you have a phone constantly by you, by your bedside where, man, lonely nights, you just scroll until it pops in your mind and you give in? Is it going to parties and you know and you're getting drunk? You know that this isn't God-honoring, but yet you're putting yourself in social environments where you know you have a habit, a tendency of to drink and get drunk or hooking up or whatever. Do you have an anger issue and you put yourself around people that you know that push buttons? You know, what is it? Ask God to reveal that to you. Listen to what Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Ask God, God, what is it that I struggle with? Reveal that to me. Show me what it is so that I can put barriers up. I can protect, I can walk away from those things and know where I struggle and not put myself in that environment. Two, avoid tempting situations. Keep yourself away from the situations that cause you to sin against God and fall into temptations. Once you know yourself, you see this is where I struggle, good. Put a battle plan in action. Don't put yourself in that situation. That may mean you have to end some relationships. Good. Those relationships aren't beneficial to you. That may mean you have to say no to certain things. Good. That might mean you have to have some accountability. Good. Surround yourself with people that want to build God's kingdom with you. Third thing, submit to Christ. He is our Lord because he takes control. And there may still be areas of our hearts that we haven't fully submitted to Christ and made him Lord over. But we must submit to his leadership and allow him to take control over all areas of our hearts and our lives. That's including our desires. It is what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says. It is taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Submit to him. Allow him to take control of your areas. If our desires, if our sinful desires are the things that lead us into sinfulness and make us make decisions, doesn't it make sense that, okay, my desires are the things that are tripping me up. Therefore, I need to change my desires to match what God's are. I need to submit every area of my life to the Lord and allow him to change my desires to match his. Because he is not a God of temptation or that lead me into sinfulness, but rather, he is a God that loves me, that desires for me to live my life that honors him, because he is a good God. If my desires don't match his, God, change my desires to match yours. Well, let me live for you. Last one, find satisfaction in God. Desires seek to be satisfied. That's why we have desires. We want those to be satisfied. If they did it, we wouldn't call them desires. And just like what I said, since desire is the problem, then our desires need to change. Find satisfaction from God. I want to read you Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We've been giving in to the taste of our sinfulness and our desires, and it leads to brokenness and shame and guilt, and that is not what God has called us to do. He does not want us to stay in our shame, guilt, and brokenness. But rather, when we taste and see that the Lord is good, we see that the sinful things that we run to are actually bitter and are not beneficial and is not good. But when we see the things of God and we taste that, man, we see, oh, how much better is God's way over my own sinfulness. Similarly, David says this in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because what happens, like I said earlier, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. God changes you and shapes you and molds you that your desires actually match his. And you see that it's so much better. And it's so much better than our own desires and brokenness. And so when our desires match his, God gladly fulfills those. Because he wants to see the goodness of God reign supreme in our life. So here's how I want to end. We started it this way. I want to end this way. I'm going to start that short autobiography that I believe illustrates what sinfulness and temptation looks like in our life. I'm going to start it all the way over, but this time I'm going to finish it and read it all the way through. So here we go again. This is the short autobiography, There's a Hole in My Sidewalk, by Portia Nelson. I walk down the street, and there is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost, and I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I am in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. I walk down the same street, and there is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. I walk down another street. So I think that illustrates exactly what we should do with our sinful desires and our temptations. Is over and over we will choose the same exact things that lead us into temptation, and we always like, well, what's wrong? We see the problem. We fall right back in. We get stuck in it. We get back out. We go over and over and over again, and yet we see illustrated here, hey, I see it, but I get out much quicker this time. And you know what? I see it. This time, I choose to walk around it, and eventually, I walk down a different street. That's what we got to do with our sinful desires. Don't put yourself in tempting situations where you know you're weak in, where you know you need the Lord's grace in. Choose another way. Walk around it. Don't put yourself in that environment. So here's why I encourage you just one last time. If you're here listening to, at some point you go, man, I am tired of living my broken, sinful life that I know doesn't honor God, and I can't seem to fix it. I can't seem to set myself free no matter how hard I try. Man, would you let King Jesus set you free from it? You cannot fix yourself. Self is the problem. We need King Jesus to set us free from the things that we can't. Would you please put your faith and trust in Jesus today? Scripture makes it clear as day. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We rightfully deserve eternal separation from God, but the free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. There was never a moment where he hesitated to die for you because of your sinfulness. He came to set you free from that. That's why we have the most famous verse that we know, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not die but have everlasting life. That's for you. Scripture makes it clear as that. Hey, if you believe all of that, hey, I recognize I'm a sinner. I disobeyed God. But today, I truly believe Jesus is God's one and only son who loved me, died for me, and rose from the grave. Scripture makes it clear in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not when you get cleaned up, when you unhook the hooks that are in you, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus and call upon his name, you will be saved. Verse 13, for everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no magical prayer. It is the attitude of the heart. You fully recognize I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is God's only son who lived, died, rose for me. I want to put my trust in him. You could say a simple prayer as this that you just call out in your own heart, however you want to word it. You could say it as simple as this: Dear Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus is your one and only son who died for me, and I believe that he rose from the grave. Would you please come into my life and save me and change me? And I give you my life. You could pray something as simple as that in your own words, acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. Scripture says that you are a new creation. You are forgiven of your sins. The old is gone. The new has come. And we would love to hear from you so we can pray for you and help you with resources. So I'll end with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.